All right. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the 99%. And we are here today to talk to you a little bit about the off season. So normally this time of year, people would be getting ready to roll into Kona since it's early October and getting ready for their last race of the year. And then looking at spending a little time in the off season. And that can mean a few different things for various people. I don't know, Marilyn, do you want to get us going here with maybe a typical off season or what it would look like if an athlete had just finished a pretty solid race schedule ending with a strong fall race like a Kona or an Arizona or something?
Hey, yeah, guys. Good to chat with you. And yeah, you know, it's normally at this point in the year, the load's pretty high, right? You've been racing and training since probably January, something like that, and maybe even gone through a couple different cycles in terms of race seasons and mid-season break and all of that. But if you're going into something like Kona and the later season races, your load is high, your fitness is high, you've maybe even been training, traveling, racing a lot. And if we're talking about like the professional side of things or the Kona qualifiers, you know, that pointy end of the field, then you're going to need a pretty solid break afterwards, right? I mean, mentally, physically, you want to deload, let a little fitness come down. Everyone hear that word, oh my God, my fitness is going to come down. I'm going to put on 10 pounds, all those things, and they start to panic. But I think it's really important. And, you know, the bigger your season is and the bigger your load is, the more your break needs to be. So for typical athlete that I have at that level, I'll say take a week completely off. Don't even just go do whatever you want, whatever that means. Maybe it means for some athletes, that means do nothing at all. They just sit on the couch and they're just like, I don't want to do anything at all. And other athletes, they like to be active. So they might go do some other things. I say, as long as you're not going to injure yourself, if you want to do some keg throwing or you want to go, you know, do some gymnastics or whatever it is you want to go do for a week, go do it for a week, as long as you're not going to get injured. And then for a second week, we just sort of similar approach, but start to add in maybe a little bit of short stuff. Let's get reconnected with, especially jogging. You know, I think you shouldn't spend forever off of your legs when you're wanting to run at a competitive level. So maybe you'll start to interject some, you know, 20-minute jogs 2-3 times a week and maybe one swim to keep a little feel for the water. And if you're still burnt out on your bike, you can stay off the bike. Or if you feel like you want to do a little bit of riding, okay. But really still keeping it pretty low key and unstructured. And then the third week of off season is about where we start to revisit, like, okay, we need to start to introduce back into very, very lightly and maybe still quite unstructured, a little bit of, connection back to swim, bike and run and keeping it short and even start talking about the next season and that kind of thing. So for the really high load athletes, it's, I think, a 3-week process, and that can vary. You know, obviously some athletes, it might only be 10 days. Some athletes, it might be 2 weeks. Some athletes, it might be 4 weeks, but within that range for the really, really high load athletes. And when we say high load, I mean, you know, they're training at a competitive level. They've had a full season. They've raced a lot. They're in their lifetime best shape going into the world championships, that kind of thing.
Awesome. Thank you. And we also have Elliot here. Elliot, do you want to talk to us a little bit about the same thing?
Sure. Glad to be here. I think Marilyn did a really good job describing, like, I don't want to make it sound negative, but like the stereotypical off season, like if you did it that way, you're probably going to do it pretty darn well. Like that's like, right. If you have to do a cookie cutter approach, that's it. And just like she said, it's going to vary. And I think if you just took an outline of like how to do it, exactly what she said, you take at least a week. Like personally, maybe I would say more like 10 days or 2 weeks, but it's the same thing. And then the first thing you would get back into is a little bit of running, or depending on where you live, it might be hiking. Like I live in the mountains, so a lot of people, it's easy for them to go hike. If you live somewhere flat, like you're probably not going to just go walk around a bunch of cement. You're going to go jog. So that I agree 100%. And then like, depending on their personal history with water, they might need to be in the water a little bit sooner. So like the less history with water you have, the sooner you're going to want to get back in the water, so you don't lose too much of that feel. the big thing is, what was the mental toll on the season of the season, and how much like decompression does that athlete need, and how does that take place? So that's super personalized, but you know, I can tell you from somebody who's like training to win Ironman Hawaii, like the mental load was all we looked at, because the physical load was insane, right? But we knew that, but it was really like, how much space did you need from the mental pressure you're putting on yourself? And I don't think some people realize, like, there's a lot of age groupers who put that exact same amount of pressure on themselves around a family and a job that some people are doing where that's their only thing, right? That's the center of their world. And how you go about that's going to change, you know, like, I've had some people where I mandate it, like, hey, you're not doing anything and you don't get to talk about triathlon for X amount of time because it's all consuming for them. I have other people who are really easy and more laid back, and then I might be actually giving them more focus sooner because like they can handle a light training load and then kind of going off and doing their thing. So once that period of time's over, whether it's 1 week, 2 week, 3 week, 4 week, the thing I personally like to do to extend the mental off season is, as you know, from actually getting the training from me, is I normally write training like most people do. Here's Monday. Here's your training for Monday. Here's Tuesday. Here's your training for Tuesday. In that kind of what I would consider the secondary off season, or almost like the preparation for your preparation period, I like to give a week of workouts and I let the athlete choose what order, and I give a bigger range of like, your easy run might be 20 minutes or it might be 45, and I give it a range. And I don't say you have to do it on Monday. It just has to happen between Monday and Sunday. Some people, that pisses them off to no end, and they say, tell me what day to do it on. And then if they're really, really adamant, sure, you can give them that. And some people don't even want that. So it just kind of is finding that middle ground with your athlete of what they need and how much space they need, and recognizing that sometimes you might need a little bit of a buffer from a coach, but still have a little bit of a guiding hand and finding that given pull. So,
yeah, I always remember getting everything done by Thursday, being like, well, what do I do now?
Yeah, and then we'd have arguments, because you'd say, well, I'm done. I said, well, guess what? You just won yourself 3 days off. And you said, I don't want 3 days off. And I said, well, you need 3 days off.
But yeah, no, that was it's always a good approach to have a little looser comeback to the season.
What about the athletes that they, you know, I've certainly seen this a number of times and manage athletes through this, and you guys can tell me what you think, is the ones that the structure and the stability of, you know, just having their normal routine actually keeps them fresher and mentally, if we're talking on the mental side of things, it's almost like if you let that go too far away for that a length of time, 3 weeks, especially with elite athletes, whether it's amateur or professionals, you see a little bit of depression happen where they go extremely to the other side. They get a little depressed. They put on too much weight. They turn even to like negative habits like alcohol, those kinds of things. And it's almost like it becomes like a bit of an issue, not necessarily for their athletics, but a bit of a life issue. And so I think it's important, you know, off season obviously is an important part of the year, and it's a important thing for us to manage stress and load. But if we're talking about the mental side of things and incorporating that, managing athletes' different personalities through that time to watch that we don't see the other extreme. Because of course our instinct is they need rest, they need time off, they need a break, all of this stuff. However, for some athletes, I've seen that actually be a big problem, and it actually is like has a negative impact, not necessarily physically, but mentally and emotionally. So where do you guys stand with that?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think people like can drive a lot of joy and satisfaction from like looking at their training peaks, seeing the workouts turn green when they have 100% completion, and being really proud and like happy with kind of checking that like kind of life box off their list. And then when they don't have that, then yeah, it's a little harder for them to figure out maybe what to do with their free time that's appropriate. So I guess I've done some things where their training peaks might look almost the same with like the same amount of hours, but instead of actually like running and riding and swimming, maybe they have like a hike and a kayak and a yoga session and a stretching session. And so like to them, it might look and feel very similar in that they're going through the correct motions, checking the right boxes, and being really happy with what they're doing. But if you look at like the actual stress that the activities that they're doing are causing, it's really, really low stress stuff. And it's totally different than what they're normally doing, but it kind of fills that void in what they need to do.
To piggyback on what Jesse just said, I find the athlete that like needs that checkbox, the easiest thing for me to do is that's my time to say, okay, your season just ended. I like to go over your strengths and weaknesses and what you did well on the year and what we can improve on. And then I use that time to do like something brand new that maybe you're going to use the rest of the year and maybe you're not, but it's more something to occupy their mind. And for some people, this might be heavy lifting, which would totally screw them up in the middle of biking and running, you know, depending on who they are. Or for Jesse's case, like I'm fairly sure I introduced you to yoga, or like was somewhat like, hey man, you need to stretch because you can't touch your knees, let alone your toes. I know it wasn't that bad, but so I use that time on say like, hey, let's do something new, exactly like Jesse said, the hikes or the kayaks. But if that's not gonna do it, then I like to use these different skills. And sometimes it's something like, okay, you used to do a 3-hour ride with like threshold reps. Well, I'm only going to let you ride for an hour, but we might do some almost sprinting efforts, which is like totally different, but it gives them a new thing to focus on. It does use up some energy. It gives them that checkbox, but the overall load is hopefully still a little bit lower, and you can kind of, you know, smoke and mirrors it. So they feel good about themselves, but they're not overly stressing their body. The flip side though is sometimes I find that the off season is the time to have like those bigger talks of how much do you want to push yourself next season? And can we make you comfortable doing less now so that you can push yourself more? And just kind of getting to know the athlete and getting to know their personality and kind of like letting that be more time to discuss how they're feeling about the sport and what they can improve on. And just like airing that stuff out, if you will.
Yeah. I also find, I keep kind of asking you guys a lot of questions here, but it's like, the other thing that I find, you know, as we go through, you know, the years, the difference between the younger athletes, obviously, and the older athletes. And so we're definitely seeing now, you know, athletes racing professionally from, you know, like 36 all the way up to 45, like some females, they're able to perform at a really high level at the longer races, you know, 41, 42 up to, I've seen 45 years old. And even some of the guys into their 40s, I mean, didn't, you know, with Crowe and Cameron Brown,
still going,
you know,
he's
they're
never going to stop.
Yeah. And so there's these, and we've seen in the past with Dave Scott, all those guys, you know, they obviously they're very special people, and that's, you know, we have to acknowledge that they're just different and they were born different than the rest of us as well. But we are definitely seeing, you know, athletes performing later and later years. And so, you know, what we might say an off season looks like, and we take the, you know, in parentheses, cookie cutter, okay, this is our good baseline to start, but then we start to individualize it. If you've got a 38-year-old or 42-year-old athlete versus a 26-year-old athlete or 32-year athlete, like what does that off season look like? And like, are there some differences there? Of course, every athlete is unique and different and their circumstances are going to be different. But if we had to put like paintbrushes across these types of things, I know that my experience has been with the older athletes, especially amateur athletes who are in that, like, let's say 40 all the way up to 60 plus years old, that off season, actually you can't, it sounds funny, but you can't like take swim, bike and run away for too long, because that routine, like the older you get, the less you can have change. Like don't change your runners. Like you don't want to have a different change and drop. Do not make changes to your bike position. Like any little change has to be so small and things have to be kept the same because they just get injured so much quicker, you know? And so it's like, if you take a, you know, 45-year-old athlete and give them 3 weeks off and then bring them back, man, that bring back process is just going to be, I find, like injury and there's, it just takes so much longer to bring that fitness back versus like a 28-year-old athlete who had a big season. And it's like, oh man, you really need to decompress and take 3 weeks off and completely disconnect. Now, mentally, the 45-year-old athlete might be more exhausted and be more mature and be like, actually, I'd like to do nothing. So you're balancing like the 28-year athlete will be like neurotic and want to keep training, but they need the big break. The 45-year-old athlete might be mature and exhausted and want the break, but physically and mentally, like there's a big crisscross there, right? Like the older athlete needs to kind of keep ticking it over so that they don't get injured and they can keep their fitness at a certain level. And the younger athlete, like mentally can't handle the break. I don't know if that's making sense the way I'm laying that out. Do you guys see that or find that?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I just like it, maybe it's physically and mentally, but I just kind of crossed over into that older bucket and like had a little bit of injury.
43 in a few weeks. Welcome.
So like this last off season, I was like, I was mentally ready to be like, oh, maybe I just take a month and do nothing. Like this baby, like I just need some time off. And then I was like, oh, I can't do that. Like I need to keep doing like some 20-minute jogs and staying in touch with the water, because I was in that place where like, yeah, mentally I needed it, but physically my body would not come back the same if I just took a month totally off. And so there's definitely like, it's not like a clear switch like that, but it just kind of happened for me. But you definitely kind of have to phase that in as athletes get older. Like you can't take 2 weeks off of running, because that's too long. To build up that impact resistance all over again would be like, oh, it's like a 6-month process all of a sudden. And so, yeah, that is a really thin line of like, okay, I've got to keep you moving because like your body needs it, but mentally you're a little fried. So kind of incorporating enough frequency and like little bits of intensity to keep that together becomes a more delicate balance.
I think I agree. I agree on the physical aspect that like clearly as you get older, you can't have as much of an off season. That doesn't mean you can't change the stress. So like almost every single older athlete I coach, I'm concerned with maximal force production, right? And I'm concerned with their mobility. And it's just like, can you hold your streamline or whatever is left of your streamline? Can you stand upright with your pelvis in position? Like, I'm not even trying to get your legs to go behind your pelvis. I'm just trying to say, can you stand up and down with thoracic, like with your proper thoracic, like alignment along with your pelvis? And like, can that be in proper position? I'm gonna spend like the off season, if you will, working on those things. You can still swim, you can still bike, and you can run at lower volume. And then you just change your focus. And whereas a younger athlete is mostly going to focus on recuperating just from the stress. But I think the bigger thing is the younger athlete from most people I coach, I'm going to be more inclined to push them to their like limit, because there's less repercussions for pushing a younger athlete to like their limit of work. And an older athlete, there's more repercussions. So I'm never going to push the older athlete quite as hard. And I'm going to push the younger athlete a little bit harder. And there's reasons for that. And of course that changes how they taper and all that, but that's like literally a whole nother podcast. But that changes the off season essentially. So like if you're adjusting for their age ahead of time, that's going to help you adjust for their off season. And that also might change the length of time of their off season. So like you might have 4 weeks or 6 weeks of like clear off season for that younger person. Whereas the older person, it might just be 1 week, but then it's like 3 months of that changed training, if you will.
Yeah. And the other thing I think is like important to address with the differences of that is, you know, with a younger athlete, and I certainly experienced this myself when I was younger and racing professionally and see it across the board, you know, some of those younger athletes, they're really, really sort of pushing the limit in terms of body composition when they're training, especially in Hawaii. And, you know, it's important for them in their off season to be okay with, you know, put on a couple pounds. It's actually healthy. You need it for your immune system to come up. You need, you know, it's going to melt off the second you start training properly again, and really need to have, you know, a rebuild back in terms of your weight and that kind of stuff and health and, you know, getting your blood work done, making sure everything's healthy, especially the female athletes and male athletes too. But you know what I mean? So But with older athletes, it's a little bit more of a balancing act in terms of, you know, yes, they need to have the same thing because all most endurance athletes focus on body composition and being lean. However, the older athlete, if they put on 5 or 7 pounds, it's going to take twice as long to bring it back down, you know,
more like 4 times, but yeah.
Yeah. Like it's just all of a sudden you're like, I've got this 5 pounds around my midsection. I just can't get rid of. And it used to be that like, okay, the off season, I didn't worry about my nutrition that much. And I let, you know, mentally just sort of had a break from all of that and put on a few pounds and it was healthy for me. And then the second I started training again and just tightened up my diet, I got right back down to race weight, no problem. All of a sudden you're, you know, 36, 37, 38, 40, and you go into your off season and you've been doing this a long time as well, maybe, and you put on 3-5 pounds and it just never comes back off again, you know? And so I think it's important as coaches and as athletes to be aware of that, where that healthy balance is and how to address that in the off season. I encourage a lot of my older athletes to actually improve their diet in the off season. And probably the best thing you can do for most athletes in their off season is keep them, you know, from going nuts with like sugar and alcohol when they're not training and racing. I think that's like the first thing that you can look at when we get into our off season, but, and quality of life and, you know, improving sleep and those kinds of things. But I don't know if there's something that you guys have to add to that in terms of off season and body composition, the younger athletes versus the older athletes, or just that topic in general with your athletes. I mean, especially, you know, female versus male, those it's sort of a big topic. You could really be an episode of its own.
Funny aside, for a fair amount of the pros I coach, like who are racing at Ironman World Championships, like a few of them, I gave them a weight. I said, we know what you weigh going into the race, like their everyday weight, not their deep dehydrated weight. And I said, don't call me until you weigh X amount. And 1 year this person weighed, it was like, I'm going to get the weight off by a couple pounds, but it was like 159 or 162, something like that. And I said, don't call me to hit 172. So it was like 10 pounds more. They called me 8 days later, you know, and then like they were drunk for 8 straight days. But like the point is that's what that person needed, right? And it was like, yeah, they basically like drank and ate and did nothing for 8 days. But
if you're 38, that could be pretty detrimental, right?
Well, sure, but they weren't 38.
Yeah.
You know? And so like that's one of those things that I don't know. I thought that was funny because like it's both like a terrible thing to do, but like sometimes that's actually exactly what you need depending on the athlete. And if you were older, that would be the thing you never want to do. And I agree, like the off season for probably anybody that's 35 and up or even probably 32 and up, you've got to really nail down your nutrition. And I like to take that extra time to say, like, that's when you talk about grocery shopping. That's when you talk about your snacks. That's when you talk about like your day-to-day stuff. Like, oh, you want to learn how to make a few meals? Like maybe we should talk about that. Like I've literally written that into training plans. Like, oh, you're going to try and learn how to bake these various things. And then use that going forward. Oh, we have all these new ride snacks you can bake. And then it makes it easier for you to fuel once training actually picks back up. But Jesse?
I mean, I totally agree that it's definitely a sliding scale based on people's age and like, you know, how they end their season, like body composition wise. It's definitely going to be different for different athletes and different at various points in that athlete's like kind of career. Definitely a bit of a moving target there. But I want to kind of shift the conversation a little bit from the general off season after a standard off season where we have raced 12, 15 times to what we're looking at right now, where I'd say most athletes haven't had the opportunity to race much this year. There might have been some different events or different things that they did. Like maybe they decided they wanted to, I don't know, Everest or go for a 200-mile ride or whatever it is, but the standard like huge season of racing probably didn't happen. And everyone is kind of getting towards the end of the year, the weather's starting to change and wondering, well, I didn't really have an on season, so what do I do now? And And that's, I mean, that's a question I'm actually kind of dealing with myself as an athlete, let alone for the athletes I coach, is what kind of off season does the season that I just put together of training with a little bit of racing, like what kind of stress did I accumulate? So what kind of off season do I need now? What do you guys think a, for lack of a better term, COVID off season should look like?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're all navigating through something that we've never in a million years thought we would have to, right? I mean, we do sports because we want to compete, for most of us. That's, you know, even the ones that are doing it just for self-improvement and lifestyle at some point do some kind of target, event throughout the year. And this year is just all of a sudden like, wow, this is not anything anybody ever anticipated happening. So I think, you know, we're going to find out a lot after this year or in the next coming years of who navigated through this the best. And I think a lot of us, you know, we've also been equipped, we've dealt with injuries or seasons where we couldn't race. But this is just unique in itself. It's different because there's just been a lot of unknown. There's been, you know, so many things taken away. There's been additional stresses in, you know, if someone's got a family or, you know, if they're afraid of illness, maybe they even caught COVID themselves or someone they know. So there's all these pieces that are just completely different. And I think we're going to find out in a couple years. we're going to have the same conversation in 2 years and have better advice. But I think right now my advice would be is looking at each individual athlete's last 6 months and last 12 months. Some of the basic principles still apply. Where are they mentally? Are they, you know, are they burnt out from just the mental stresses of COVID in terms of their work, financially, family-wise? Are they, you know, are they extremely bored at this point? You know, where are they mentally in terms of boredom? How much training stress have they had all year? I mean, I've had some athletes who have actually put in some of their lifetime best training through this period. And their load in terms of physical load is actually pretty high. And you know, what is that training? What are those training cycles look like? I mean, we can only do base for so long, right? Before we hopefully have encouraged the athlete to not be too fixated on, you know, too many hours. And we've actually shifted their ability, their work rate within those hours once they've done that without having a race to target. So hopefully we've all coached our athletes well through that stuff. But so what does an off season look like? I think it just depends. It depends what the athlete, where they are at mentally, whether they're extremely fried from everything else going on in their life, or they're extremely bored. Where do they fall in that spectrum? Or how much training have they actually done this year? Have they been still improving this year? I think it's fair to say that there will be some kind of events next year because we're already seeing some pop up. So then where's their target event next year? You know, are they looking at wanting to be in the best shape of their life in February, January, March, April, June, October next year? Or, you know, so going through the same process steps that you would normally with an athlete, like what's your season going to look like next year? Let's pick some target events. Let's work backwards from there. You know, we know all those basic rules, but really, you know, what have you done all year so far this year? That's going to play a big part. And I know I haven't really said something specific here. So I think maybe Elliot, if you want to add some specifics to that.
As far as the target event, I think my personal approach right now is it does seem very positive that there's going to be a race of some kind. I mean, my girlfriend's racing again in 9 days. She just raced twice. But for like your average amateur, anybody in North America, there are going to be races. I think it'd be silly to assume that every race you have next year is going to happen. So I think the approach I'm taking is like, what is your general goal? Like not what is this one race, but like, what are you most passionate about? So if it pops up, are you in the ballpark of like, can you be ready for it in 5, 6, 7 weeks? And can we like kind of keep the ball rolling? And then generally, what are your, once you know what that general goal is, so like whatever, let's say it's a half Ironman. Let's say it's Ironman. Let's say you're trying to get ready to do a 20K time trial on the bike. Whatever it might be, you know that big goal. And then what are your weaknesses for that goal? And for me right now, I think most every athlete, like, I'm just like, okay, we know your big goal. What are the weakest aspects heading towards whatever that big goal is? And then how do we do that in a way that never puts you in that like super high stress where like if you're training for an Ironman, those final like 2 months are really intense, right? I think we all know that, especially like 4 to 8 weeks out is probably the biggest training of your life. How do we avoid that? How do we still get you better without ever really hitting that big peak so that when you actually do get a chance, whether it's in March or it's in October of next year, you're ready to roll. And then you're ready to like build from there. And I think because of the stress of the world is so high, another thing I'm really trying to do, and I don't know if it's right or wrong, and like you said, we're going to find out in a couple of years, is I'm trying to avoid the peak training stress. So it's like, I'm okay to push people pretty hard, but I really haven't pushed anybody like to the brink just because there's too much other shit going on. So I'm just like, look, I'm more trying to avoid the dips than I'm trying to hit the highs, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, totally. I also think it's like, you know, looking at if certain athletes, if we're going to keep, you know, making the decision, is there going to be a break, right? Like that's what you're trying to decide. Do they actually need a break? How long does that look? Or are they, is a break necessarily not the right answer at this point? It's like maybe because they haven't raced a bunch, a break isn't the right answer. And if they're asking that, is it because they're plateauing and actually just the shape of the training needs to change to keep the improvement going? So like if you've had someone who's been rolling 25 hours a week, you know, a lot of sort of moderate work for, you know, 15 to 20 weeks, you've sort of capped out on that, right? I mean, your body's kind of like, I'm pretty tired from going long all the time, but I'm not really getting any faster from this anymore. I'm not really getting any stronger. So maybe there needs to be like a reduction in volume. I mean, obviously it's in relationship to the length of the race that you're doing, but the training stimuli, it's not necessarily, maybe they don't need a break like you typically would in an off season, but you need a change in training stimuli to keep the progression of the athlete just continually improving happen. And maybe that's like a 4 week block or 6 week block or whatever that be. And then you go back. And so it's just, I think it's not so much about breaks right now. Is it about, like you say, avoiding these like pitfalls of just growing stagnant, you know? And it's obviously we're always looking at continual improvement. Where is that A event going to be? We don't really know yet. We can kind of have an idea, but in general, we need to focus on continued improvement. And if we've had a long stretch where then the athlete's no longer improving, and we do know target things like what it is that you need to improve, where are your weaknesses, but also are we just falling stagnant from the training that we've been doing for a while and there needs to be sort of a shift in some way. And it could be something really small, you know, it's not, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's like, okay, well, I just need to change these two sessions per week and everything else can sort of stay as the skeleton that we work around. And the athlete all of a sudden gets another little boost. They get a little bit more fire. They get rejuvenated. They see another performance, you know, we see a little performance gain and then we go from there. So I don't know where you guys are at with that.
I agree. I was curious. I don't have much to add. I agree with you. Jesse, do you mind if we use you as a case study?
Not at all.
You were saying that you're sort of asking yourself this question right now. So it's like both of us are kind of rambling on, like what's going through your mind? Well, I mean, we use it as a case study, but like, let's first, like what's going through your mind as we're saying this stuff. And you're like, you're in the trenches living it, you know?
And like, what have your last few months as an athlete been like, not as a coach?
All right. So good questions. I just wanted to agree with you guys and say that I think that the one like overarching thing everyone's kind of saying is that it's a really good time for a shift in training. Like there's a change in weather. Things are going to be a little different with the holidays, no matter what, like even if you're just Zooming your family. And so like changing your training in some way is definitely going to be necessary. What that looks like is going to be very different because the training you've done is different than in years past, but that change still needs to happen. And so like in my case, I've been rolling about the same for a long time now of like hovering in the low 20s for hours. If you want it broken down in miles, like maybe like 40 miles of running in the low 200s for riding and like only like 12K of swimming because pool access is limited. And a couple
for background, you're at your peak, you're a pretty high mileage guy.
Yeah, I have been someone in the past. Yeah. It's getting harder with kids or a child.
with a child.
With child. So yeah, I've been keeping pretty steady with those numbers for a really long time now, which has been good, I think, for building up a fair amount of consistency, but it leaves me with maybe that kind of staleness that you guys were kind of talking about, where I've been kind of riding this plateau and I haven't gotten injured, but I haven't made a ton of progress, and the kind of just staying steady and being what I would consider like in that ready phase where if, say, Ironman Arizona does happen, I can kind of springboard my training and won't have to jump too far to be like reasonably Ironman fit. But like, as far as total stress, that hasn't been super high. Like if I take a couple of days off, I feel pretty fresh. So what does that mean if no races happen and I just keep rolling like this? Like, and so yeah, what do I do come, say, December?
How hard has it been for you to get out the door?
It's been, well, and the fortunate thing I will say is that like through all this, I've kind of developed a COVID posse. So I have a few people I've been training with, and that makes it's a great like social release with, you know, sometimes we have some hard efforts in there, but it's been pretty easy to get out the door.
Like from your mental perspective, obviously like the world has changed, but has your training changed much differently than if you were in your normal off season where it was, you know, like instead of it being, in your case, like June through September, did that feel similar to past December through Marches?
So yeah, no,
like from a mental standpoint, like when you're getting out the door and building, or did it like, that's what I'm curious about.
So I guess, my training has changed a little bit in that I've stayed away from like tempo-y efforts because that's what I do a ton of come like race prep, and I've done like some track workouts and some kind of punchier group rides and some things that are kind of focusing on things I don't usually focus on. So it's been fun and it hasn't felt like normal training. And so yeah, it's been kind of different and enjoyable and not an energy sap. And without any races looming over my head, there hasn't been that like, okay, I need to nail this workout because I know I've got this race coming up. It's been like, yeah, I'll go train because it's fun and I want to try and see if I can beat Gil and, you know, like find those aspects that are kind of like fun in training.
I'm almost curious, like, cause we don't know if Arizona is going to happen, but let's pretend it does happen and you do it for whatever the 20th time in the past 10 years. You've done it a lot, right? I think you took one off, right? Maybe not. Anyways, I'm wondering if your off season is more going to be like a handful of off weekends. Cause it doesn't sound like you're in a place where you really need one mentally or physically.
No, I mean, I think if I do Arizona, the biggest thing I'm going to need an off season for is like running 26 miles on concrete is going to be hard to get running again within the next week.
But that's not an off season. That's a race recovery.
Right. And I think that would be the biggest thing is a race recovery. And then, I guess in my head, what I was planning on doing is just what you guys were talking about, like picking some target races and then working backwards and saying, okay, what do I need to do now? And for me, that would look like, well, gyms are starting to open back up with a little more availability. So, you know, I'm old, so I need to make sure I'm like hitting the gym and maintaining some of that strength and focusing on a few of those things, after the race, assuming it happens, while I'm still moving around a bit.
And you know, Jesse, actually what I'm hearing from you as an athlete is similar to what I'm hearing from a lot of athletes is that their off season, you know, they're not necessarily, even if life stress has been high, works, you know, work stress or with the kids or whatever, their actual mental freshness is pretty high and everybody's pretty eager. And so, you know, I think it's going to be a job of managing that eagerness in the right direction, knowing we have to pace it all the way to when races might happen again, you know, because so even if we get to do a few fall events and you get to make use of the last 8 months of work that you've done, instead of saying, okay, well, you know, I'm going to take my typical off season now, I'm going to take that the traditional stuff that we laid out at the beginning. I think if you said that to a lot of athletes, come November, December, or even if they get to do an event, you're going to get a little bit of a sort of pushback. And what I mean by pushback is that they're going to be like, but I don't really feel that tired. And there's almost going to be this like sensation of frustration as soon as you say that, because they're like, I haven't done anything in so long. I just feel almost like I want to go do something. And that something might be, I think we're going to have to navigate what that something is in relationship to pacing towards these events that we're looking at. And that's what you sort of said without saying it, Jesse, is you're like, okay, I do November, do the race in November. I don't feel like I need a big off season. I've been sort of rolling medium. I go do a race. I kick ass at this race. I need like a week to get over it. But mentally, like, I realize I can't just stay in race shape for months on end. However, I don't need 3 weeks off. Like if you said that to me right now, I'd probably tear my hair out. So like, actually, what can I go do to, you know, work really hard towards the next goal? And so we're looking at it going, yeah, we got to keep these athletes, you know, moving forward that way, but still in terms of a like peaking their body at the right time, we have to give them the right work from that point backwards. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Yeah, Elliot.
Totally.
I agree. My personal solution to that, and I'm not doing this with everyone I coach, but I'm doing it with a few people I coach, is I'm trying to give them time trials or like really big adventures, depending on the person. Like one of my athletes is going to hopefully race Arizona as a pro, or she is a pro, but hopefully the race happens. And hopefully she beats Jesse. I'm picking sides, but the point is, if that race doesn't happen, she was already planning to do like multiple extremely long trail runs, and that those runs weren't going to be races. They were going to just be this big adventure. Right. And it was, but it's long enough that you have to have some sort of like recovery, the same way you'd have a, like a week off or so from an Ironman. Like if you go run 50 miles through the woods, you're going to take some time off. So you're whether it's that or an older athlete I'm coaching, we're doing a series of time trials over the next 6 weeks. And then after that, we're going to have a forced recovery because like we're purposely sending him out to do multiple time trials. And they're like, some are on the bike, some are on the run. And he's actually been doing them all year. He's gotten to do two races. But like, they're not the same, and we're totally aware that they're not the same, but they're something. And whether it's a short time trial that you can do a lot of, or a couple big adventures, or a mock race, like I'm purposely trying to give people a reason to at least take a couple days easy. And I figure if I do enough of the couple days easy, then my next move is to make sure that the off season, which normally I like to have some sort of new focus, has like an extra new focus, and really try to dig deep of like, what's something they've never done before. And so it's taking a lot of time to discuss this with the athlete, but I'm really trying to find like, what can we do to keep them motivated? That's like maybe not off the wall, but just something they've never had time for before, that hopefully will give that stimulus and allow a little bit of break throughout the way. And again, I have no idea if it's going to work, but that's my current thought of like, how do you force someone into an off season without actually having anything to do it, if that makes sense.
And you know, yeah. The other thing that, sorry, Jesse, I was going to change gears a little bit here. So if you have something to add to that.
Yeah, kind of jump in really, really quick and let you change gears in a second. Yeah, I've been doing a similar thing with a few of my athletes, and that has been working to give them something to shoot for, and then have a little downtime, and then say, okay, let's kind of regroup. The other thing I have is that being in Arizona, we have like some events popping up in the spring now. So some of my athletes were saying, okay, we're going to shift and kind of train through the typical off season time and do potentially a marathon in February and then kind of roll into more of an off season after that. But I guess we're maybe a little different than other parts of the US in that it's hot here all the time.
Yeah. So, there's snow on the mountains already.
So sorry, Marilyn, you said you're going to shift and I jumped in and then I shifted without you. So go ahead.
Oh no, that's perfect. All I was going to say is that I actually, on the other extreme side of things that I have is I've had athletes that have sort of stayed on the far away all year. You know, they haven't been doing very much, or they've been a little bit of that, like what I call, like to, in my head, I call it the orangutan mode, is that they're just like all over the place doing a million other things. And they're pretty disconnected from being a triathlete and their goals towards triathlon. And so actually, like, as it starts to shape up into the end of the year and looking towards some events coming back next year, it's almost, instead of an off season, going to be like, I got to get my arms wrapped around this and get these people like back training and refocused on being a triathlete, because they've been so far away from the mark that they need to hit to actually hit the goals that they want when the season comes around next year, that it's going to take some time to build back up to that. And so, you know, we're talking about the athletes that have been putting in a pretty solid year and have stayed pretty focused and have a pretty high load and managing, you know, sort of manipulating them into some kind of an off season and break. And then the other side of that is the athletes of like, man, I got to get my arms wrapped around this one and say, like, you need to sit down and start to get your shit together, because we've only got 6 months now or 4 months, and these races are going to pop up and you are actually pretty far away from what we need to do. And so, you know, I think it's important to acknowledge that as well, because COVID has certainly presented, you know, the two extremes, you know, definitely the ones that are like, I'm doing 500 kettlebell swings, or I've reduced my training to 6 hours a week and barely done anything, but yet they want to win an Ironman in 4 months time or something like that, you know? So,
you know what that person reminds me of, even though it's totally different, is the million times we've seen someone get a stress fracture, get hit by a car, crash their bike, have some sort of terrible injury sometime in the May to August timeframe, and then they recover. And then by the time they're healthy, the season's more or less over, plus they're out of shape. So their off season gets like a couple extra months. And then the next year they have the best year of their life. And it's like, cause they had that time to, like, that previous year sucked, which is what we're going through now. And they had that forced downtime. So the athlete you're talking about didn't have forced downtime. They just more or less didn't really want to stay with it. And now they do, because they're more motivated by a race. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think being motivated by a race is a pretty good thing to be motivated by. So I just wanted to say, like, I feel like that's the same mindset. Like, you could almost just do the exact same thing that you'd do if somebody got a stress fracture in May.
I think it might take a little bit of that mental shift where you have to kind of give them a smack in the face and say, hey, this is coming to an end. COVID off season is over. Races are going to pop back up, and like, kind of need to say, like, let's start to get serious here. And sometimes, yeah, like if an athlete's kind of checked out and they're like, oh, I don't need to check back in, this is not going to happen, you kind of need to have that conversation of like, hey, it is time to check back in, because we're about to get back to business here.
For sure. Yeah. But at the same time, if they're just not into it, I don't think now is a good time to try to force it though.
Oh, like, I will force them. I will force them back into it. No, but sometimes a little gentle guidance and say, hey, you know, like, these are going to come around. There will be some races in the spring.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like, that's the pep talk, right? Well, you know, yeah. Me, I'm not exactly a motivator. I mean, like, for sure, like, you want to give them the pep talk as best they can. And I'm personally terrible at that. I feel like my main skill is making sure people don't do too much, or at least trying to make sure they don't do too much. But,
and also I think, like, you know, off season or not, the COVID, you know, whether the COVID season has been treated like a normal season in terms of training and stress load, or it's been shaped a little different, but the stress at the end of it's the same. Or, you know, the ones that have had it be more of an off year. I think then the third guinea pig athlete out there is the one that is like, this was a blessing in disguise. And so that's the other athlete we haven't talked about. So those there's the two that we just went through. And then the third one is this athlete where, you know, had they just kept on the trajectory, I can't say that word, help me out there.
Trajectory?
It's a tricky one,
now
right?
there's two of us that can't
Yeah,
say
so you know what I'm trying to say. If they had stayed on that path, let's use that, they actually would have just sort of kept, you know, maybe not done as well as they could. And you sort of touched on that, Elliot, a little bit, is that like for some athletes, having this forced year where they didn't get to go race, they were able to learn a lot about themselves, and they were maybe even able to correct some things, whether that been an athlete who had like a deficit in an area that they were able to address that and move it forward, or maybe they've just been like at it for a long time and they needed sort of a break and then a rebuild back, and they're much healthier coming out of this year than they've ever been and been able to string together a moderate amount of training without a lot of stress. And now it's like, this is actually, you could look at the off season, sit down with that athlete and say, hey, you know what? You had a really great opportunity this year, and this was a blessing in disguise, and we've got a really good launching pad into this next year. And this next year could be the best year of your life, or the next 2 years could be the best 2 years of your life. So I think, you know, there's these sort of, and there's probably, I'm sort of categorizing these three different models of athletes that we're talking about. But I think this third one is one that I've certainly seen in, like, you might see it even more in the elite athletes, because we get caught up in like every year they need to, you know, train, race. And it's like all of a sudden we have this, you know, 8 month window, and especially for an athlete who's been training and racing for a long time and they've done over 20 Ironmans, you know, at a competitive level, that kind of thing. All of a sudden we have this year where we can say, well, let's get healthy. Let's get a moderate amount of training going. Let's reset, you know, reset some boxes. And then we've got a chance to launch forward off this and actually really go out there and kick some ass over the next 2 years and go from there. So I don't know what you guys have to add to that.
I mean, I
just want to say that's like Arthur Lydiard's wet dream. If you read any of his books, you know, it's just like base season as long as possible. You know, like as long as athlete can handle it, even if it's up to 3 years. And you're like, who the hell does base for 3 years? And then you're like, oh, this guy kind of knew what he was talking about. Anyways, I just want to say that.
And I was going to say, I've even seen that with some of my like maybe not elite athletes that have busy jobs where they still try and fit in 5 or 6 races throughout the year. And then that plus their busy job, they haven't had like as consistent training as you would hope over the years, because they're trying to scramble, get ready for a race and then do some more things. And then kind of in that wave where this year they've just been like, okay, well, no races. So they can get in a bunch of consistency and all of a sudden they're like kind of super fit and without any big hard sessions. And yeah, they've like more ready than that you'd think they would be without like that intensity, just because they've been able to train consistently without any major breaks in there. And just to say that I also feel like I was injured in coming into the season in the spring, and it was definitely a blessing because I was going to force myself to race some spring 70.3s before I was ready. And I didn't have to do that because they didn't happen. So I was able to take a really long time to get back into fitness. And so now I'm decently healthy, which is a plus.
Nice. Lots of different ways to look at this off season, isn't it? I mean, I think the overwhelming thing is, you know, in all sports and our sports as coaches, we're going to, like I said, originally we're going to find out 2 years from now, you know, how this all really, really played out and what were the best decisions made. And, you know,
like pure motivation also.
Pardon me.
Like just love of the sport and love of the training is, I think you'll also see that in 2 years.
But yeah, I think the main things still apply that we've kind of talked about for, I'd say, a normal offseason versus a COVID offseason, and that you do need that shift. And the way that shift in training happens or how it looks for you could be very different than a normal year. But I think that shift in training has to happen, and like the offseason can be a good catalyst for that, no matter how it looks based on what you've done this year. I don't know, do you guys have anything to add to kind of wrap up our conversation?
Yeah, I mean, I think all these are really good points. I think it gives everyone, you know, something to think about for sure. You know, go back and evaluate what your years looked like, where you want to, it's like anything. What have I done? Where am I at now? And where do I want to go? And, you know, and I think this, we've given some people some good things to think about, and certainly some good insight on how to evaluate themselves and how they want to take it forward. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And just like a reminder to everyone to like not be too hard on yourself, because this year's been wild, and don't look at what just happened. You want to look at what just happened, but only to frame what you should be doing going forward. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jesse. Thanks, Elliot.
Take care, man.
Bye.
Bye.